live from Stadium Swim, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour. Cofield and Company. Greg Salerno's here. Here is Cabana 7 at Stadium Swim. Much to get to. We'll have a live video running here in just a couple of minutes. You can check out the show. Very exciting at Cabana 7. We should just point all the cameras out to the pool. But that'd be kind of cool, but also sort of leering.
Hell of a view, though.
Yes. 143-foot screen is what you're talking about.
Yes.
All the odds up on the big board. It is a beautiful day today, so you still got plenty of time to come down here and hang at Stadium Swim. What are we guessing for temperature? It feels like 99. It says 101. Excessive heat warning.
I know. I saw
from
that.
Friday tomorrow to Sunday. What? Excessive for this time of year, right?
Know,
it's not going to be excessive. We had 116
well,
we had 110 plus for like 9 days.
No, it's not going to be 120, but I think for this time of year, it's going to be way over normal, which it's going to hit triple digits a couple days. I think 97 a couple days. So, yeah, it's not going to get cold for a while.
We had a lot of discussions on the internets and social media earlier. I really just want to bail from the whole G-damn thing. Really do. Big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Now, there's a reason I said that. And a lot of it has to do with my neighbor. It is almost a guarantee, no matter what I say to her, no matter what the topic is, and I'm telling you, I'm down to speaking with her for more than 15 seconds, maybe four times a year. Here's the latest one. The SO, my significant other, for folks in Reno who don't listen to the show a lot, significant other, right? She comes home yesterday after seeing a friend at work, and the friend happens to work in the liquor biz, and she had some extra bottles, right? She's like, hey, here's some bottles. Like, got enough where the SO is like, you know what? As she pulled in the driveway, she sees the neighbor. She's like, I'm going to give her a bottle. So, I can't remember if it was vodka or, I guess it was probably tequila. Hey, so-and-so, do you want a bottle of tequila? The woman says, well, I don't drink. So the SO is like, well, I mean, when you have people over, you know, you can make them some margaritas, right? Tequila is margarita, right? You can make them some margaritas.
Sure.
She says again, I don't drink. She goes, maybe I'll take it because it could be worth something with the end of the world coming. And she says, I could ration it. Or this bottle of tequila could really prove to be worth a lot in the barter system.
So she's talking like post-apocalyptic? Is that what she's saying?
Yes.
Wow.
And then after all that, the SO responded, or you could just make margaritas. Like, just
the barter. What are we doing? It tells you what's on her mind, I guess.
Dude, I'm telling you, she is an absolute victim of way too much TV, way too much internet. Every time I talk to her, there's some conspiracy coming
one of those.
Hey, I just found, we were cleaning up the yard. I just found a bunch of bullets. I'm like, I've been in this neighborhood for 10 years. Will you stop with a bunch of bullets in your front yard? But yeah, for bartering, when the end of the world comes, the apocalypse is here, she's going to use this bottle of tequila to survive another day.
That's like in prison, man. You like trade ramen noodles for like a sock or something.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Too. I'm like, are you going to jail? Come on. You know what? Just go in your house, and I'm going to go in mine. Let's not talk anymore. Number three.
Number three.
So we had a band yesterday come down. Actually, I guess it was, Tuesday. We told Griffin, basically, he's banned from picking any music for the show anymore. Now, what was the problem? Griffin, what was the music you played?
I played Green Day.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Okay, let me tell the rest of the story.
Yes.
We banned him, and then I said, we're kidding. I know what Green Day said, but we're not like that. This.
Bam.
What are you, Clear Channel and the Dixie Chicks?
Yes.
Back in the day?
Yes. No, we're just called the Chicks now. But yes, no more Green Day. You talk about Las Vegas, you are banned, young man. You know what? I'm getting tired of Oakland. One of the main reasons I hate this is because I'm so sick of this comparing Vegas to Oakland thing. Okay.
Well, I get tired of that, yeah.
It's so annoying. Like, you're an underpass. It's your city, basically. But don't compare yourself to Las Vegas ever again. And don't say our city's trash. You're trash.
Okay, one thing. So the root of this is he's mad that the A's are leaving Oakland. He's a fan of the A's. So that explains the background. I often tell myself each day, what's the motion? Griffin, the punch down motion. Don't punch down. And in this case, one, I'm not going to punch down on Oakland because I know what they're going through. I really don't because I really didn't care that much when the New Jersey Nets moved to Brooklyn. It wasn't the same thing. You know what I mean? It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Can we just – Billy Joe's been pretty cool over the course of his career. Billy Joe Armstrong. He's been cool over the course of his career. He's emotional right now. He doesn't really mean he hates Vegas.
No. He is banned. And, you know, how is that punching down? By the they started it. Their stupid mayor, whoever that lady was talking about Vegas, too. It's like, come on, man. Keep our name out your mouth. We don't talk about you. I never hear anybody go on here like, oh, Oakland sucks. Or, I mean, unless they bring it up first. I never heard anybody attack Oakland. Leave us alone.
I do have to say that that whole punching down thing, there wasn't, like, any big proclamation made on the show. But there were two lead dogs, sports anchors in the Bay Area, who were covering the story. And then every once in a while, they would smash Vegas.
Yeah.
Or this is one I know people are going to be like, you are an idiot. One of the guys paid a compliment to our show for knowing about the Howard Terminal. They're like, well, they're really up. And I was like, that is completely insulting. Up yours.
I don't think
the guy reached out to me a couple times. I never answered. I'm like, no, you think we're stupid here.
Yeah, but how can you trash? Vegas is so awesome. Everyone comes here. Like, it's.
Think of something else. The worst part is a lot of people here, what do they think about the stadium and the A's?
Oh, nobody wants them. Yeah.
We're an innocent, but we don't even want them.
Yeah.
We don't want John Fisher.
Exactly.
Don't get mad at us.
Exactly.
We didn't vote on the stadium.
Yeah. Keep them. Take them back to your rat infested hole
we're on your side.
Yeah. Whatever, dude. Have second base in the 50-yard line, whatever the hell you're doing over there. We don't care. Get out of here.
This is very much an audible, especially with our sound system in the Commodore 64. Do we have Beal 3 from the other day? B-E-I-L. So Larry Beal, who's a former SportsCenter guy from years ago, he's really, you know, he's his home is the Bay Area. He was on ABC 7. He decided to do this rant against the letter. John Fisher won't speak to anyone directly in Oakland or here. And he has this letter. And Beal's like, this is absolutely ridiculous. And listen to what Beal says at the end of his rant, which is basically kind of rooting for us to fail. Fire this.
There's one glimmer of hope. They're going to supposedly play 3 years in Sacramento.
Right.
If other owners and the Players Association had any spine at all, they would say, no, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. We have yet to see a real financing plan for the A's stadium in Las Vegas.
Right.
We're still waiting. Vegas is still waiting. They don't have one. Yes, 18 years, they've tried, and they've screwed it up every time. I don't know that that's going to change. I would love to see another massive failure by this ownership group, and then maybe Major League Baseball would force a sale to somebody locally. And there's a bunch of groups. Don't listen to anybody that says there's no fan base or there's no money in Oakland. That's total nonsense. I can go call three billionaires right now that would buy the team, okay?
He's rooting against Las Vegas. And what do I have to say to that? You're right, Larry. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be good with that. We're not the enemy.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't even think it's all of John Fisher's fault either. I mean, I think he's a terrible owner, and everything he said since he's coming here has been annoying. But when has a team ever left a city that supports their team? I mean, if a team's really supported, they don't leave.
Well, but they were supported until he tanked for 5 or 6 straight years and tore apart the team. They traded everyone good off the team.
They've been doing that forever. They've been doing
that. Yeah, but they replenish. They actually get good prospects back.
Right. I don't know.
This has been an intentional Jake the whole way. They wanted to get out. But Larry Beal said it. Nothing's done here. Nothing is done. Number two.
Number two.
Now, I am very much in the minority on this one. I am glass overflowing about what F1 can do this year and in the future. But I know a lot of businesses got beat up by F1 and beat up by Clark County agreeing to it. And kind of this love affair with the center of the strip and F1. People are getting mad.
they're getting sued. That's what they're doing. There's, you know, it's funny because it was supposed to be a boost to businesses that, hey, we're going to have all these people here. You're going to have a lot more business. But I guess some of these restaurants and things, you know, on the track are saying that it's keeping people from coming in and they're losing money. So there's an Italian restaurant suing for $30,000, which I don't know, that seems like a low amount of money. It seems weird. But yeah, because they're not, I guess, able to have customers during the race, which to me is weird because, again, I thought it was going to boost.
Well, it's the location. That's the problem. They take over Flamingo between Flamingo and Koval. I think you're talking about Batista's, which has been there forever, I think.
Nah, it's a different one, actually.
Oh, it's Ferraro's?
Yeah, yeah, Ferraro's.
Yeah, so, which is kind of interesting, because that's over on Paradise.
Right. That's okay,
I get it. Well, Harmon is affected, so they're they're saying. And I know they've had a, now I'm blanking on the name of it, but whatever. You can sign there a petition.
Oh.
You can sign a petition, you know, protesting against it, so. I get it. It does hit the local businesses. We did have a really good conversation with Jonathan Jossel, the CEO over at the Plaza, and he's like, we're not waiting around. We saw what happened last year. This is not an event that will benefit downtown. It benefits the center of the strip, and we all have to be very active and offer people other deals and other activities. So let's take advantage of, you know, being in town and everyone concentrated down there. We're going to do our own thing.
I'm not anti-F1, and a lot of people just complain about anything that's new, but what is the point? If the businesses aren't getting anything out of it, I know you said that maybe the middle of the strip is, but
they killed it.
Oh, really?
Oh, they killed it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah,
but the bottom line is, as big as F1 thinks it is, it's not going to bring a Super Bowl-like crowd.
Right.
It's not going to bring a New Year's-like crowd. It's not going to bring 350 to 500,000 people here. And honestly, I think some of the problems were with the rest of the strip. Hey, they thought that, you know, they've got whatever on the strip. I know it's 155,000 rooms overall, but they thought, hey, let's do three-night packages. It's a minimum of $2,000. They priced themselves out of it where the casual fans and people who come for some sort of party around the race were like, can't afford that.
Yeah, but the Super Bowl at least isn't as intrusive. It's, like, contained inside of a stadium, most of it. I mean, there's events and stuff. But this is, like, I mean, the whole city's shut down.
Next up.
Number one.
Well, we're going to build this throughout the hour. Official news that UNLV decided last night, along with Air Force, to stick with the Mountain West Conference over the Pac-12. I don't know what the money figures are. I don't really care. I'm not here to be an accountant or crunch these things. I know it is a big part of the decision. So I'll admit, it's hard for me to say if this is a great move or a terrible move or a short-sighted move. UNLV is getting an extra level bonus along with Air Force to stay in the Mountain West Conference. The school doesn't need money. They're in a hole. You know, the athletics department is in a hole, and they basically went from having to pay out $18 million if they chose to go to the Pac-12 with an exit fee to getting at least a $15 million bonus from the Mountain West Conference, which, you know, in turn is a $33 million difference.
Yeah. I think it's a bummer. I mean, I like them being a part of the pack. What are their, you know, it used to be 10, 12, whatever. I like them being a part of that. I do think it's kind of like a nostalgia thing, you know, growing up, whatever, watching USC and
right. All
these teams. But money-wise, I mean, it's a business too. Yeah. So,
well, the bottom line is the Pac-6 as it exists now, it's actually 7 because Utah State jumped.
Yeah.
They didn't want some of the lower schools in the Mountain West Conference, and they wouldn't just say it outright. So they splintered, and then they came back to UNLV, trying to get UNLV in. And from a financial decision and future unpredictability standpoint, UNLV is like, hey, we're going to stay with the safer option, and we know we're getting money right now. We're going to go to Reno next, talk to Shannon Kelly, see what the Nevada angle on this conference staying together and realignment and chaos, what the take is up north.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Four o'clock hour in Vegas and in Northern Nevada, brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Got to dial 775 in the north. All right, let's bring in Shannon Kelly, and she covers the Nevada scene, Nevada Sportsnet, and certainly she's been watching what's been going on here. The folks who follow Wolfpack Sports are also paying attention because this certainly concerns them. What's going on, Shannon?
Hey, guys. I feel like it's been a pretty quiet week, right? Nothing going on.
Yeah, it's pretty wacky. Well, one, was there a legitimate fear in the North that maybe this whole thing could be falling apart and couldn't be salvaged with the Mountain West Conference?
Yeah, I think fans were just, you know, wondering and on their toes about, hey, what is going to happen if UNLV and Air Force do leave the Mountain West? Where does that leave things for the Wolfpack? And a lot of questions and not a lot of answers until today. But, yeah, I think it was definitely a concern of, hey, where does the Wolfpack go from here? And, you know, what does happen with the Mountain West if UNLV and Air Force were to leave?
Is there any kind of jealousy up there about how UNLV is treated versus the Wolfpack?
I haven't seen much yet. I've seen, you know, just fans that are just excited for the fact that Nevada gets to stay in the Mountain West Conference. And when the news came out, you know, last night that, hey, this was supposed to happen today and this big announcement was going to come, fans were just excited. That was the reaction I saw, that, hey, you know, despite UNLV and Air Force, you know, getting a larger sum of money, that Nevada will be able to stay in the Mountain West. And I think that's the best thing that the Wolfpack could have hoped for in this situation, because there were so many what ifs and just, like I said, not a lot of answers, you know, earlier this week.
I think what's most disappointing is the way this Pac-2 thing came together, splintering the conference, and five schools were going to go from the Mountain West to the new Pac, whatever it's going to be. I understand there have been rivalries for years, and those are good things. There's a little bit of vitriol that goes back and forth. I'm seeing now more than ever, I'm seeing, like yesterday when UNLV got the extra bonus money, I see people from Utah State making smart remarks, from Boise saying, oh, they just paid all this money to mediocre programs. It just seems like the vibe from a lot of markets away, and listen, UNLV and you know, Nevada go back and forth. It's a little deeper than just some jealousy or, you know, recent bitterness. That kind of disappoints me, because this was a good conference, and I think we all believe that in some form or fashion it could have been a merger.
Agreed. No, I completely agree. I think that would have made the most sense, especially when you look at how the Mountain West was helping Oregon State and Washington State with a football scheduling agreement this year, and then when things didn't work out for next year, that was, you know, that was, I guess, sad to kind of see that they couldn't get on the right terms, and it would make sense that, hey, let's just merge together. Let's merge all the Mountain West schools with two more schools, that it wasn't like they were powerhouses in the Pac-12. So, yeah, I agree. It was disappointing to see that, you know, things couldn't be worked out. But I think now, given the way things have shook out this week, that will probably never happen for the at least for the foreseeable future.
Well, and reality is, all right, maybe the Pac, the five schools that went to the Pac-12, maybe they're going to make a little more money, but they got to pay the exit fees. I just think we now have another group of five conference. We're all about the same in all these markets. And 5 years from now, no one is jumping up. I don't think the Big 12 is going to take a bunch of schools, if any. And I don't even know if all the Big 12 schools will be allowed with the biggest boys. I think the one that has an immediate ripple effect, and I have no idea if they're going to change the rules, but the Matthew Sliuca thing in college football, obviously it happened here in Vegas with two different sides to the story. But what's your reaction? What do you think of what happened with Matt Sliuca walking on his team after three games?
I think it's crazy. I think there is a place in college sports today where athletes should be paid and compensated, but there has to be within reason. It has to be within reason. I think things are just getting out of control, and now you're seeing this happen. This, you know, Sliuca led UNLV to a 3-0 start, you know, is ranked for the first time in school history in the coaches poll, getting votes in the AP poll. You know, this could be a UNLV team that, you know, gets a berth in the college football playoff, and that still could happen. But to see then your starting quarterback walks away after this NIL dispute, and obviously, like you said, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle and two sides to every story, but I just think it's crazy, and I think something has to be regulated. I think, you know, you look at the NFL and that player sit out before the season starts, but I can't imagine, you know, guys just walking out on their team or in any professional sport in the middle of the season over such things. But it's just, it's crazy, really. I think the way things have gotten, and hopefully this is a wake-up call for the NCAA and those higher up that can help put some regulations in place, because I think it's just getting out of hand.
You can find Shannon Kelly at Nevada Sportsnet. Wolfpack All Access had some interesting things. Well, first of all, let's go back, you know, just a couple days, and let's talk about Nevada's win over Eastern Washington. How do they get it done?
Yeah, it was a big win for the Wolfpack. I think Nevada really relied on its ground game, and that was able to open up the passing game. We saw quarterback Brendan Lewis, you know, was able to use his legs early on in the first half to get Nevada's run game going. So to pile up more than 500 yards of offense and hold Eastern Washington to just 3 points in the first half, it was a big win for Nevada, and certainly a win that Nevada needed to now go into Mountain West play and get into to conference action here now. But big win and a lot of weapons for Nevada's offense that were able to get some action. And, you know, good. That's always good to see because, you know, when you go back to 2017, Nevada was 3-3 against FCS programs since then. So Wolfpack hasn't had the best of luck against these caliber schools. Granted, Idaho is a very good program who Nevada saw last year, but Eastern Washington has historically been good, but Nevada was able to get it done at home, which was big.
Also on the All Access show, you guys did a feature on a wide receiver who is a home area guy who came back, right?
Marcus Bellin, yeah, Truckee native, the Truckee kid, crazy story. He went to Utah Tech, then went to Santa Barbara City College, then went to UTEP, and he actually made the transition from quarterback, where he played in high school, over to wide receiver, and now he's been a staple for Nevada in the slot and on special teams. So really cool to see him back with the Wolfpack, and he actually earned a preferred walk-on spot under Jay Norvell out of high school to play for the Wolfpack, but chose to go a different route, and now he's back home as a scholarship kid.
Some money coming into a bunch of programs. Again, Shannon Kelly's with us. We're on in Reno, Northern Nevada. Some investments made with baseball. They have a nice park, and they made it even nicer.
Yeah, Piccoli Park, a brand new field for the Wolfpack baseball team. It's all turf. I was out there yesterday. It feels pretty nice. It feels like a new turf. It's really nice. And the Tom Dolan locker room, that'll be done in a couple months. So new locker rooms for the Wolfpack at the baseball field, but pretty cool just to see more facility improvements and more facility projects that Stephanie Remp and President Sandoval have been working hard at these last couple of years. So, really nice field, and Jake McKinley, very grateful, the head coach, and, you know, excited because now it feels like this sets a new standard in the Mountain West.
Bye week on the way for football, so we'll talk about the matchup at San Jose State next week. One more thing to close on. I saw the women's basketball non-con is out. I don't know what the Tahoe Blue Event Center is. They're playing there against Colorado?
Tahoe Blue Event Center, yeah. It's brand new up at State Line in South Lake Tahoe, and it'll be where the ECHL's, the Tahoe Night Monsters, will play all of its games this season. So a brand new event center. I still haven't even been inside yet. I'm really excited to finally check it out, but I thought that was really cool that the Wolfpack women will play a game in the middle of the week against Colorado there. So it'll be pretty cool to see it transformed from a hockey rink to a basketball arena. But nice. Yeah, the brand new event center. They've had some concerts up there, but hockey will get started in about a month or so up in Southlake too.
All right, Shannon, we appreciate it. We'll get back at it next week. Thank you.
Hey guys, thank you. Have a good weekend.
There she is, Shannon Kelly. Yeah, new event center. South Lake Tahoe, capacity of 5K, and basketball does 4,200, so they'll have a women's game there. So always neat. Looks like a nice venue.
Yeah, it's a nice area, too. I've actually been up there. It's really nice.
Yes. I've been there a few times. Not in a while, though. Not in a while, but exciting anytime an event center is built. And actually affordable. Only cost $100 million.
Hey, that's not bad.
That's actually.
In Vegas, it's like a garage.
Everything now is like billion this,
yeah.
Billion that. Cut it out. So on the conference stuff. Because we didn't get to too much of it before, Shannon. UNLV and Air Force get more money to stay around. Everyone's going to get a spiff. And now, crazy enough, I guess the battle will be on because apparently UNLV and Air Force were at the center of the battle like the last 3 days between the Mountain West and the Pac-12. I don't know who each conference is going to pick up, if it's one more school, if it's three more schools. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to try to go back to the American teams because they got snubbed there, and unless they're going to basically pay their exit fees. I think so much money is being thrown at ideas here that really don't have a concrete future.
Yeah,
I don't really understand what we just did.
It reminds me of Hollywood when they don't do this as much anymore, but I used to have friends that, like, if they get successful in comedy or something, they'll give you a pilot deal and they just give you money. It's like a retainer basically, and you don't have to do anything. So they just give you money, so hoping someday maybe you'll have a sitcom, so they just kind of hold you so you can't do any other projects. I kind of what this feels like, because I was going to ask you this earlier. In the long run, is this a good is this a short-term view for UNLV doing this, or is this a long-run thing?
No, I think it's short-term, and I'm going to say guaranteed, but it's very lightly, because the money that the Mountain West Conference is bringing in and then doling out to keep its conference together is from the exit fees, which are not being challenged in that lawsuit. It's the penalties that they're challenging. So they believe they're getting $55 million. They're going to spend a lot of that on Air Force and UNLV. UNLV sent out a release earlier that they're getting somewhere between $10 and $14 million up front and then bonuses along the way. Again, I don't want a number crunch. I think it's too much for the audience. I can barely keep it together. But, yeah, Hawaii committed. They're in. So right now they have seven committed schools. I got to go find another school.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
So a lot of talk today about UNLV, a couple of big stories. Conference realignment, going to stay in the Mountain West Conference. Matt Sluka, that story's still developing, although in certain corners of the internet. So that includes former players, which I was surprised by. I guess their immediate reaction when they hear a player say, hey, I wasn't paid, is to jump on the player side. But I had messaged a guy last night who's just getting into the media, and I was like, hey, did you try to get UNLV side of this? So I didn't get an answer yet. We'll see what he says. The other thing that happens is, like, once a story gets out, people just don't look into it. Story came out yesterday. UNLV running back Michael Allen is following Matt Sluka out the door. Now he's transferring. So the only problem with this is, like, I'll give you a good example. Someone at the station just texted me during a break, and they're like, hey, buddy, did you hear that the UNLV running back is now leaving? And I wrote him back. I was like, he left on September 15th. He's been off the roster for two Mondays. But no one has put that out.
Right.
I put it out last night. I retweeted a Bleacher Report story because that's kind of the angle. Like, everything's falling apart at UNLV. Michael Allen was getting the second most carries on the team. He decided to leave.
Right.
And for some reason, yesterday when the Sluka stuff was going on is when he decided to announce publicly that he was leaving.
Well,
and then followed it up with, hey, this has nothing to do with NIL, and I have no ties to the collective, just to make sure. But, bro, you were gone two Mondays ago. Just announced it last week.
Right.
But he's not that everyone out there is, like, scanning through the roster to see who's on. By the way, for UNLV, funny enough, there is a guy who left the team before the season, was in the portal, tried to get a scholarship elsewhere, didn't get a scholarship, asked to come back. Now he's back on the roster. Again, no one's going to scan through and go, oh, my God, Diego Albert's back. That's going to help special teams a lot, but it will.
You know, I kind of get it in a way if you're not, because it's so confusing.
I know.
Like a lot of, I mean, I'm looking.
I don't know how people keep up, but if you are a source of news,
right, you
probably
right.
should check. You can make a phone call.
Right, or a Google search or something.
Right, it's not that hard to find certain things out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You're talking about the NIL thing and, you know, the money with Sluka. The more I hear about it, the more it sounds like it's basically just a hustle, this whole thing. Like, there's no. Nobody has contracts or any writing or anything on any of this stuff. I mean, it just sounds like dope dealing almost. Like, there's really no there's no regulation. Like, how do you know who said what and who did what? If I'm a player from now on or a team, I would even – in fact, even if I'm a team, I want everything in writing now. Because who the hell – you just say anything, and they can run with it all day on the social media and the news.
Would it be better if we just had robots kind of running everything?
I think yes, and I can't wait. I'm actually waiting for robots to run everything.
Just tired of people.
You know, these people are like, oh, man, well, they're going to take all the jobs. Yeah, good. I don't want one. I want a robot to do my job, and then I go out in the desert and take pictures or whatever. And we're getting closer, by the way, because I just saw there's a Japanese scientist who has made fake skin that's alive that you can put on a robot. So we're, like, really close to Blade Runner. We're, like, they look like, a Blade Runner. And you can cut them, and it heals. It's crazy.
Would you want a robot Greg Salerno? Like, you still get paid for remotes?
Yes.
But it's robot Greg out there?
Absolutely. I don't want – you think I want real Greg out there? Of course not. I want robot Greg. He's my representative at all times.
Do you think robot Greg could handle our new QR out of remotes? Because I heard the other day you were like, what is happening?
Yeah, probably better. You can just put the QR code on the robot. You just flash it in his eyes or something, and then there you go.
You failed miserably?
Yeah, it was awful. I was sitting there trying to get this thing to work. There's three people in line. It took me 45 minutes to get three of them signed up. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever done in my life.
Hey, everybody, download the new LV Sports Network app. Yeah. We actually are, when you go to remotes, we're getting rid of the classic sign-up sheet. You're going to be able to do it with a QR code and do it on an app. And then
yes.
You know, they can send you if you win a grand prize, stuff like that.
Yeah, dude.
It's actually very cool.
But I would totally do that. Remember when Jose Canseco had his twin brother go to court for him once, like a long time ago? I would do that with a robot. He'd just take care of whatever I needed. He'd just go to court for me if I get a speeding ticket. Hell, he can get the speeding ticket for me, too. He'll be in the car. He'll be my driver. Whatever.
We're all going to be so fooled. But I do worry about the job market.
Why?
Because you need a human on comp to introduce music.
They're smoking.
What? You're invaluable over there.
They need a 5-second clip of my voice, and they got me forever.
That was sublime. Comp 92.3.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Another big college football weekend on the way. We get leans and likes every week from our real college football bettor. Brad Powers is in with Salerno and Cofield. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Not a whole lot around UNLV. Can I tell you that 99.9% of the time I like the transfer portal this week? I hate it because covering the Saluka story is so freaking annoying. But there is a football angle to it, Brad, and that is, what sort of effect is this going to have on the number, on your number, because initially it had a really big effect on the number with the Rebels and Fresno State.
Yeah, not that much. Maybe a point or so for Saluka. And you think, well, that's it? I mean, he's quarterback to an unbeaten team. He's the leading rusher. Yeah, I'm saying that's it. I mean, number one, I'm not, you know, thrilled with him as a passer. Number two, I think you got a quality backup who was in there for the spring. Looked good in the spring, in my opinion. A guy that's, you know, was a 3-plus-year starter at Campbell, 8,000 career passing yards, probably a better passer. Certainly not as good of a runner, but I don't think it was that big of an impact. And we saw the market agree after that initial. I think Fresno State got out to 2 yesterday morning. That was bought back. And then some. We've seen different ways of money on UNLV here. So I think UNLV is the right side. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the pulse of the team, they'll at least rally for a week here. I don't think Fresno's, you know, world beater this year. The misleading final against New Mexico last week. I think the Rebs get it done here.
So it's funny. I've been, you know, given what I think is the UNLV side of the story, but the school's not speaking. So when I tell these stories about Saluka and what I think happened, I'm sure people are listening. They're like, oh, you know, you work around those guys. Oh, that's what they're. It's not where I got it from. I will tell you where I first got this whole. The guy walked in on Monday to the coach's office and asked for more money. Your world, the gambling world. Because when people saw the number dump on whatever day it was, Monday, people called me up and they're like, hey, what's going on with the quarterback? Hey, here's what I'm hearing. And it was the exact story that has been circulating all around Las Vegas. So many times you guys in the gambling world have this way before anyone else.
Yeah, it started leaking. Unfortunately for me, it was after I made a sizable bet on UNLV, and then I got the word about 2 hours after that was sent out to clients that, hey, the quarterback might not play. So what do you do in that situation? Do you tell people to play it back? Yeah, almost always you say, yeah, let's get out of this. Let's just eat some juice. Again, I don't think he's that big of a deal, so I stand in pat here. But, yeah, there was – about 5 hours before it officially was announced,
yep.
You saw the market moving, and it was, you know, relayed to me that, exactly the story that came out. Hey, he's not going to play because of an NIL dispute.
Talking to Brad Powers, I want to get into some of the games this week. I saw one that was pretty interesting on here. Very close line. What are you thinking about this Rutgers-Washington game coming up?
Yeah, very intriguing game. Well, they're all intriguing. It's funny that, you know, Cofield didn't ask that one. But, you know, the big game, to say the least.
I jumped the gun. I jumped him.
Yeah, a big game, to say the least. So, on one hand, you know, statistically, Washington's probably a little bit better. On the other, Obviously not a great spot, short week, traveling across the country. What Rutgers does is very repeatable. I would say Rutgers had a misleading final last week. They probably should have won that game by multiple scores, and were winning that game by multiple scores for a majority of that game. This was just a numbers play for me. I took 3.5 early in the week. At 2.5 now, if you told me you wanted to bet Rutgers, I don't have a problem with it. I made the line right around 3.
And it's so key what you were just saying there. Like you were aware of the game. You know the pace of that game and what it really was before it got close to the end. And Rutgers made some, you know, bad play calls. And Virginia Tech, I don't think is very good. Their quarterback is very up and down. He's not smooth throwing the ball. He can run. Unless it's like minus 45 just to have some fun or plus, I don't really get involved in 19.5 games or whatever this number's at now. Am I wrong? Is Miami the side here and VTech actually is probably not getting enough points?
Well, the market says different because down to 17.5 today. Okay. A lot of movement across the board. This is a different market this year. I'm not sure that you have other guests saying that, but it is. There must be some new money in here because the moves that I'm seeing, I don't recognize some of the moves. Not saying that Virginia Tech's not the right side. It's just I don't know what you've seen out of them. And forget the Rutgers game. All four games that they played that would want you to run to the window, bet them. I am not involved in the game at this point. If it does, you know, get a little bit lower, I'm going to bet Miami. Right now, I'd lean over in the game.
All right, let's go to some Saturday games, and I will make sure to be more on the loop on the numbers. I had cut and paste this actually.
No, that's all right. No, a lot of stuff. Yeah. Look, a lot of stuff moved about 1 hour, 2 hours ago. I mean, big time moves.
Okay. Well, we'll find out if what's going on with the Kansas State game and the number there against Okie State. Had 5 yesterday. I think it's still 5. What is it?
Yeah, it's still 5. This is classic. Malinsky used to talk about this being an inside-out handicap. On one end, you got an Oklahoma State game that was a misleading final. And the fact that it was close, it wasn't close. It was 22-3 Utah, middle of the fourth quarter, until a couple garbage touchdown drives. And then on the other side, Kansas State, they got blown out. Well, yeah, and the scoreboard says so, but, I mean, the reality was with 2 minutes left in the second quarter, it was 6-0 Kansas State. And then 7 minutes later, as far as game time, they're getting beat 31-6 because of turnovers, punt return touchdown, fumble return touchdown. They're not as bad as that final. So you add the two together, you got a pretty good play on Kansas State this week.
I'm interested in this game mainly because half their roster is on my Eagles. Georgia-Alabama, what are you looking at with that game?
Yeah, a little game there in Tuscaloosa. I'm not sure anybody will watch that one. Want to watch that one?
Right.
Just because it's the biggest game of the year doesn't mean it's the best value bet of the year. But it's a game that I didn't anticipate to bet this week. But I did a deep dive podcast yesterday, and after deep diving it, I think Georgia's the right side here. I just for a variety of reasons. Number one, they're arguably not as bad as what they showed against Kentucky, and they've done that the last couple of years. Their first SEC road game, they haven't looked that great. A little bit extra motivation for Alabama beating them last year as a missed opportunity. I actually think Saban not being on the other sideline probably will help and free Kirby up. I don't know what it was, if Saban was in his head, but he didn't necessarily have the greatest game plans here recently against Alabama and Nick Saban. So with DeBoer there, I think it opens up Georgia's playbook, believe it or not, a little bit. I'm not buying Alabama's offensive line. And I'm not, their go-to guy is a 17-year-old wide receiver. What's he going to do when he faces the first time adversity in his career? Because of all that, I'm not saying it's the best bet of the week, but it's a bet, Georgia minus 2.
Go to Brad Powers 7 up on Twitter, bradpowersports.com, to get more information, more leans, likes, games, picks from Brad. Let's go back to K-State and, talking about what that game was like against BYU. So now I'm trying to get a read on what the market is saying, not only about BYU and their win, which was deceiving, but also Baylor. But for me, Baylor, just watching the quarterback, watching some of the coaching, I'm confused here. I think I want BYU. Am I way off with Baylor as a favorite?
Well, I mean, the classic handicapping 101 says good spot for Baylor. Game they shouldn't have lost last week, playing a BYU team that I just said was an extremely misleading final. With that being said, that's all priced into the line and then some, in my opinion. We saw some 3.5s taken out as far as BYU and the hook. I agree with that move. I would still lean BYU here. Not a game that I can't really trust either team yet. I know BYU is much improved, but we'll see if they can handle business here. Baylor, I'll tell you this, if the game script doesn't go well early, I mean, there's going to be some pressure on Dave Aranda, because I'll tell you what, if he doesn't win this game, I think he could get fired.
So then let's talk about Colorado involved in that Baylor spot last week. It's very funny now with gambling so widespread. Every sports talk radio host is trying to kind of catch up. And I was listening to some of the guys on SiriusXM. Good show, good channel. But they're all former players. And when they saw this 14 and a half, they were blown away. They're like, with Colorado's – wait, what? Wait, they're the dog? Like, they were shocked by this. But I think the market early on told you that a lot of people are not very high on Colorado.
Yeah, they're not high on this matchup. I mean, obviously, Central Florida's dominated the line of scrimmage. Look at their rushing stats, both offensively and defensively. Then go look at Colorado's rushing stats. So, I mean, I'm not sure there's been a bigger mismatch at the line of scrimmage in any at least competitively priced game this season. And by competitively priced, I mean not to, you know, an Alabama against an FCS opponent. I'm talking, you know, two power programs. So, yeah, I agree with the move out to 14. You know, wish I would have bet Central Florida when it opened. But still lean that way, minus 14 here. The worry that I do have is, you know, Colorado's got some backdoor potential here, which is already I think it's going to be a blowout early. But the problem is UCF's pass defense isn't good. So that's why I think UCF's a bet, not a best bet.
Brad Powers on the line here, Caulfield and Company. We're about 20 minutes away from NFL football. I was looking at this earlier. I think it's actually moved a little bit even since then on the board I'm seeing. But Cowboys at Giants. I'm kind of surprised by this, about how close it is, because, I mean, the Cowboys have absolutely owned the Giants. I know they've looked like crap this year, and the Giants had a good game last week, but how are you looking at this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys have won 13 out of the last 14 meetings. They, you know, a lot of them blowouts, but, man, short travel week, laying some points here in division.
Yeah.
I don't like Dallas's defense. I mean, on neutral, this line saying that the Cowboys are 7 points better than the Giants. As bad as the Giants are, you saw that they were able to beat the Browns on the road last week, so actually lean with the Giants here. Not one of my favorite Thursday night games, though, I got to be honest.
Well, folks can watch it down here at Stadium Swim. We're inside at Circus Sports. Brad Powers is with us. It's Cofield and Company. Last couple of college spots. A&M is now getting what's the number in this one? They're laying 6 against Arkansas?
Laying 4 against Arkansas. I did take 6 boy. With Arkansas. No, you know what? There are some 5.5s. I mean, this – it's unbelievable. This market moved here in the last couple hours. Yeah, it went from 4 to 5.5. My goodness. I would bet Arkansas, even though, you know, the late week money's on A&M here. I don't trust A&M at this point. There's talk that Wegman's going to come back at quarterback. I don't like that. I would prefer them to stay with the kid that started the last couple of games. Big game for both. Sam Pittman, if he wins this game, he's starting to, you know, you can paint a picture where he can save his job. If he loses the game, then we have a different narrative.
Yeah, locally I'm rooting for Arkansas. I want to see that rumor stop with Odom going back to Arkansas and his kid, who's actually commit at UNLV, is playing back in Arkansas after playing at Faith Lutheran. Notre Dame and Louisville, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I wanted, coming into the week prior to last week's games, I was thinking, yeah, I'm going to bet Louisville here. And then I watched Louisville against Georgia Tech, and I'm like, I no longer like Louisville in this game, because, I mean, that's a game that Louisville probably should have lost outright. Scoreboard says they won and covered, but, boy, watching that game, they weren't that much better than Georgia Tech. So why am I, you know, focusing on one data point? Well, there are other two data points. They played Austin Peay and Jacksonville State, so – so what that they blew those two teams out. You don't know what you're getting from Notre Dame on a week-to-week basis. I mean, up, down, I'm guessing you're going to get a good effort because Louisville beat them and embarrassed them last year. And this is a big game for Notre Dame. I guess they're wearing the green jerseys, which hasn't been good for them if you followed recently. But I think they win and cover, and then the market agrees there. We've seen Notre Dame take money out to 7.
Brad, let's close on this one, and I always like to get your takes on general college football. So it looks like this Pac-12 and the Mountain West now, with the commitments of UNLV and Air Force, they both have 7 programs. They'll probably get to 8. What's more likely, that these 8 schools in each one of these conferences with 4 non-con games can schedule aggressively and get on the schedules of the big boys? Or do you see the next couple of years the big boy conferences saying, you know what, we're playing each other. You don't need to play and do all these pay games. What does the future look like for the Pac-12 and Mountain West non-con next couple of years?
Oh, they'll get some big boys. big boy, you want alums want W's. So, I mean, they'll pay for that. They won't have a problem scheduling non-conference games, in my opinion.
Plenty of money for those programs, too, because you're going to get paid and paid well. And maybe, you know, the top programs in both of the conferences can probably pull off some upsets here or there, make some people nervous. Brad, we appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.